This morning, we are going to look at a topic that through the years we've looked at several times, but this is one of these messages that, you know, when the Lord first put it on my heart, he said, this is one of these things you're going to bring back every few years. And generally speaking, it's never on my mind. It's not on the calendar as such, but I really felt like now is the time that needed to share this again. And I look back in my records and saw this been 4 years ago. So, you know, the thing is, just because you did it 4 years ago doesn't mean that you were here 4 years ago or you were here on that particular Sunday. And so once I get started into this, you say, okay, yeah, I remember. No, pay attention, please, and just stay with it, because I promise you, God does have more for you today. But if you just, I've heard this, I know where he's going and so forth, and I got it, then you're going to miss out. You're not going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today. So I try to give it a little title, and I try to tweak it along the way a little bit, you know, for those who've heard it often. But title this, Seeking Offenses, Seek Them Not. People today are so easily offended. They're looking for reasons to be offended. Even making up reasons to be offended. Doesn't matter what it's with. Politics, dietary preferences, vaccinations, school curriculum, abortion, global warming. If I left anything out that might offend somebody here today... I mean, we could go on and on, but the point is, in most of these issues, we all have a hill that we're willing to die on, and these days, we can't wait to expose and burn anyone who may disagree with us. The reality is, every one of us have been offended at some point in life, and we're going to have opportunities to continue to be offended, but looking for reasons to be offended is to invite pain and limitation to your own life. Jesus warned us about offenses in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. He says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Talk about a verse that's being fulfilled in our culture right now. People offended, betraying one another, and hating one another. That's what we see all around us. Of course, you remember Matthew 24. We just spent 12 weeks... talking about parts of this. This is talking about the last days. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 18, he said, woe to the world because of offenses. In other words, the offenses that take place in this world are not a good thing. But I want you to see something here. This is what I want us to unpack today, is that offenses have consequences. Would you say this with me? Offenses have consequences. One more time. Offenses have consequences. But even in that, you need to understand something. It's true across the board. Offenses have consequences. But you need to understand that not all offenses are wrong. Not all offenses are bad. There's still consequences, but they're not all bad. How many of you know that when Jesus walked this earth, by what he did, healed people, did miracles, all kinds of things, the things that he said, Jesus offended people. How many of you know today Jesus still offends people? You just mentioned the name Jesus. People get offended. I saw something in the news, a girl, you know, with a mask mandate in her school and so forth. She was wearing a mask that said, I don't remember what it said, but something about Jesus loves you or something like that embroidered on it. Of course, what did the district do? You can't wear that. Now, if she would have said Allah or Buddha or anything else, I kind of wonder if she would have been allowed to keep it on. But no, Jesus offends people today. And we can't have anybody with their feelings hurt. Jesus offended people. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus had just been talking in the religious people were there, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. And then after he spoke, then the disciples came to him in Matthew chapter 15, verse 12, said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard what you said, the statement? Now notice this carefully. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. You know, I was reading through this morning, and it just hit me there once again. And verse 13, I'm going to hold right there just for a minute. I'll probably preach another message on this at some point, but notice this. Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. Now, stop and think with me here. For all those whose theology, let me talk to the camera here because I know there's lots of people out there buying into this. Oh, there's nothing in this world that doesn't happen that's not God's will. Would you look at this verse? Apparently, there are plants, and Jesus is talking about the religious people, right? That's the context here. They are the plants, and they're active. They're doing things. And Jesus is saying, my heavenly Father did not plant them. What they're doing is not the will of my heavenly Father, but it's still going on. Everything that happens in this world is not God's will. And we do have an adversary, Satan, who is at work. And what he's doing is not God's will. Now, God in his knowledge and foreknowledge knows what people are going to do. But the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. You think living the Christian life is hard? Let me tell you what, you don't know what hard is. Try walking away from the Lord. Amen. You'll find out what hard is. No, all the while that people are doing wrong, God is there making it difficult for them to do it, but he will let them do it. Gave them free will. He's not going to make it easy. Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. There's going to come a time when that's going to happen. Anyway, he goes on to say, leave them alone, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Sometimes what offends other people is actually right. It's good, it's correct, it's proper. And those people who are stumbling over it, they expose themselves as people who are in the wrong. And they're offended that they've been exposed. And so instead of receiving correction that would heal them and help them, what do? They refuse to change and they launch an attack. Concerning Jesus, Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. He said that Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they, those who reject him, they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. They're wrong. And to this doom, they were also appointed. Sometimes we'd like to blame the devil. And we always like to look around to see who else we can blame for what's wrong, what's not going right in our own lives. But sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. In fact, in the scripture, it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, I'm going to read it first out of the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint is, it would have been the Bible that Jesus and the disciples would have likely used. It's the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, but this one is written in Greek. And it's that translation says, Ephraim, tribe of Ephraim, half tribe, partaking with idols, hath laid stumbling blocks in his own path. He put stumbling blocks in his own place. The LES translation says, Ephraim, partaking in idols, set traps for himself. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word here in the Septuagint and in the New Testament for offense, to offend, offense, is the word scandalon. It's where we get our English word scandal. But this is far worse because the Greek word scandalon actually means a trap. In fact, I want you to, you know those, I don't even know what, some of Gary, you might know, some of you guys that used to hunt, they don't use these much anymore, but you know those iron traps that you have to pull open, the teeth open, and it clicks and it stays open. In fact, I found a picture of one. I didn't say that. It came from over there somewhere. Oh, man, here we go again. I was going to bring my laser pointer out. I always look for opportunities to use that thing. All right, but you see, I picked this one because, well, sometimes I'm just ornery. But you see, the scandalon is not so much the trap. It's included, but it's a part of the trap. It is actually where the ring is seated. It's that little, usually it's a little round disc that the bait is put on. That is called the scandalon because whenever you mess with that, boom, the trap shuts. The scandalon is the bait, where the bait is placed in a trap. Okay, the ladies are starting to get a little uncomfortable. Mike, let's take that down. that's what it is. An offense is a trap. It's also anything that causes you to stumble and fall. We can easily allow our offended feelings to be the bait used to trap us. It's a tactic of Satan. Satan wants you offended. He wants you offended at God, at church, at people around you right now, people at work, at school, wherever you... He wants you to be offended. And he wants to help you find reasons for you to be offended because it's a trap. And this is the biggest trap that most people will fall into and feel justified about. So let's continue to keep going here. Jesus himself refused to get caught in this kind of a trap. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is saying, all right, guys, you know, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to do that. And Peter, no, that's never going to happen to you. And what did Jesus do in verse 23? Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. We've got to change our perspective. We need a godly point of view in life, not just only a human point perspective on things. Because when we live our lives being led by offenses, we will miss what God has for us and what God will do. Instead of being led by offenses, we're called to be led by the Holy Spirit and God's Word. So let's get into it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense. There's just some things you shouldn't get your underwear all in a bunch over. Just don't. It's not worth it. And I'm going to show you why as we continue here. Listen, again, we're all going to have at least opportunity to be offended. And you know what? We're all going to offend other people. You just can't, because you can't please everybody. Some of you, you're just wearing yourselves out trying to please everybody and think that that's a godly calling. Do you understand God himself cannot please everybody? There's just some people who will not be pleased. They won't be. No matter what you do, it's wrong. Well, you could have done it this way. You could have made it this flavor. You could have, you know, whatever. There's some people who won't be. Offenses will come. But we had better learn how to handle offenses so we don't become trapped and miss out on the supernatural work of God in us and through us. We don't want to, and listen, also, we don't want to miss out on what God sends to us from other people. Sometimes an offense hurts so much that we can't talk about it. We won't talk about it. But I'm telling you, it shows up in our actions and our attitudes because the offense poisons us with bitterness. The only way to get rid of an offense, in fact, let's just make it bigger than that. How do we get sin out of our lives? Well, all those things, but the particular action, the way we get rid of our sins is to speak it out of our lives. What is 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? The way you get rid of the offense is you talk to God about it. You get it out. Lord, this is not right. I'm trapped by this. They were wrong. That's not the issue, as we'll see here in a minute. But the way you do it, you got to speak it out of your mouth. How do you get born again? You get changed from a sin-filled person to a righteousness-filled person. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You confess and forsake it according to God's word, not according to how you feel about them or the situation. Listen, you can change the way that you feel. You're offended by somebody or something. You can change the way you feel about that person. Really? Because I've been so angry with them. I remember hearing one preacher talked about a lady in his congregation. I don't remember the particulars now. It's been too long. But I remember the illustration. I don't know if it was her ex-husband or whatever. But she just had so much hatred for what he had done to her and her children. She says, I keep him in a little cage in my heart. And every once in a while, I'll take that cage out. And I'll grab him out of there. And I'll just slap him around a little bit, then I'll put him back in the cage and stick him back in there. Some people live with that stuff, and I'm telling you, there's a better way to live. Why would you want, and we're going to talk about here in a minute, why would you want to give somebody that kind of power and control in your life? They're not worth it. But you can change how you feel. It's easier said than done. It's a battle. But the first thing is, first of all, you've got to change the way you think. You've got to have God perspective, not just merely a human perspective, by thinking scripturally about them. What does the word say? I don't feel like doing what the word says. I hate their guts. Okay, well, you've got to change the way you're thinking. Lord, I hate their guts, so help me to think differently about them. You've got to start somewhere. Be honest about it, but start making, okay, the word says that I'm supposed to do this for my enemies, whatever. By talking scripturally about them. Instead of rolling your eyes and having nothing good to say, start saying, well, I'm so glad God loves them. I'm not sure anybody else does, but God loves them, and he's going to help me, whatever. And then by acting scripturally toward them, do what the word says you should do in their behalf. Give, what is Romans chapter 12 says, that, you know, you somebody who's your enemy is just wrong towards you. You know, you give them a cup of cold water, says, and by doing so, you are pouring hot coals down on them, okay? Let God take care of it. But you're going to decide, am I going to be governed? Am I going to be led? Are my feelings going to be the Lord in my life? That I'm going to do what my feelings say, or am I going to do what the word says? If Jesus, who is the word, is your Lord, then let's let him be Lord. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting the same results. Maybe it's time to try something different. Let's try the word. There's an idea. Let's invite God in. Revenge, making them suffer, cannot set you free from the trap. You're trapped. And that trap has a little bit of chain. You can pull a little bit, but it's usually staked down real good. You're not going anywhere. That's why I say you bring pain and limitation in your life by holding on to offenses. It hurts and you can't go anywhere. You're stuck. That's what offenses do. It's a trap of Satan. And God wants you free. I want you free. I want to be free from offenses. The reality is that taking revenge, listen, your flesh may feel better temporarily, but the offense is still poisoning you. And would you hear me? Mike, go ahead and put the next slide. You will never get ahead if you're always trying to get even. If you're living your life to get even with other people, you think about it. The math don't work. You're never going to get ahead living your life to get even with others. Not going to happen. You know, many times the thing or things about the other person that offends us is the very thing that God allows us to see about them so that we will pray for them and attempt to help them, you know, change and get better so they don't offend as often or anymore. Maybe God is letting you see this. They've offended you, not so that you can get offended and, you know, seek revenge, but, okay, God, this person's got a problem because if they're this way in public, oh, I bet they're a dandy at home. And people all around them are going to need help. So, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. Other times, God is dealing with us about our own life and our own attitudes. Offensive people come, and it's not, I mean, not that it's not about them, but God is wanting to work something in us to change us and how we respond so that we can grow, so that we can be entrusted with more of his resources. You know, it might be an offense that we're holding on to, that we're trapped by, that's keeping us from being healed. Or it's hurting our finances. It may be an offense that's hindering you in school or getting a promotion. It's crippling your marriage and your family. I think the best example that I keep going back to, because I still haven't found one better, is you remember when David, as just a youngster, he's watching sheep, and you know there's battle cry, and all of his brothers go to be part of the army to fight the Philistines. And this is when Goliath was there. So David's father, Jesse, said, here, you know, take some supplies to your brother. Your brother's out there. So he's going to the camp, and he's hearing what all the soldiers are talking about, because the king has just said, anybody who's willing to go out and face Goliath, he'll get my daughter's hand in marriage. His family will be tax-free in Israel. I mean, all the benefits. And he's going around, now, tell me again, what is it? Well, his older brother. Don't you just love older brothers? I always got to set the kid brother straight, right? So he's watching his brother David going around asking him. He says, what are you doing here anyway? I know the naughtiness of your heart. You just have come down to see the battle. Why don't you go home? Now you understand right then, David could have been offended. His older brother, Eliab, he could have got, I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell Dad on you. Dad, Eliab's picking on me again. And he could have gone home sitting pouted because his older brother's giving him a hard time again. But David refused to be offended. And we know what happened. He went out, he faced Goliath, and he killed Goliath. But we've got too many people who are so fragile that they let everything that could possibly offend them, even the slightest, somebody gives them a little look like that because maybe they don't have their glasses on. You catch me here like this, and you're standing back, and I may do this. Who is that back there? You know, it's not that I'm giving you the evil eye, but see, you could take offense at that, or anybody else who's doing that. And you can miss what God has for you, what God will do through you. I'm telling you, there's giants that you're facing or about to face that if you hold on to an offense, that a trap that Satan has for you, you will never be able to slay the giants in your life. We need to be set free from offenses. When others say offensive things about you, remember that God will vindicate you in due season, in due time, if you follow him through all the way through it all. You know, another aspect of offense, stumbling, is to see in someone something you don't like, and that hinders you from acknowledging their ministry. Many times I've seen it, and I don't know if it's, sometimes I think it's God's sense of humor, but I've seen people in churches. God will use somebody, speak to somebody, and it's this person, this other person who's in need, whatever the need is, and this is the person they like least in the congregation. And God will send them. And if they, usually, unfortunately, more times than not, the offense keeps them from recognizing the ministry that God has committed to them to help them move along, and they don't receive it. Well, who do you think you are? I've been walking with the Lord longer than you. I can quote more scripture than you, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to tell me. Listen, Jesus made this plain, says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. That a little child shall lead them, scripture says. And if we get offended because somebody is not, well, no, we got to have the top dog come and do this, you know, speak this and do this, whatever in my behalf. You're going to miss what God has for you. God will use lots of people around you. And how many blessings have we missed out on because we were offended? We just didn't recognize. We didn't receive because we didn't recognize. We were offended that it was this person. In essence, that's what's happened to the religious people in Jesus' day, the Pharisees. They were offended at Jesus, and so they missed God. They missed Jesus. They missed the Son of God. They missed the Messiah because he didn't come the way they expected it to come. Don't miss out blessing and help that God would bring to your life. This happens all the time. Mark chapter 1, this happened in Jesus' own life. It says in verse 1 of Mark chapter 6, it says, then he, Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, now let me see if I can say this with the attitude that they're saying here in Scripture. Jesus teaching, they're going, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that's given to him that mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Notice carefully verse 5. Now he could do. Didn't say he wouldn't. He couldn't do any mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people, minor ailments, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He went about their villages in the circuit teaching. They chose to be offended. And when they made that decision to be offended, well, who does he think he is? It led to unbelief. Offenses will weaken your faith. Offenses will weaken your faith. Why is that important? Because faith is the gift that God has given to us. It's what we use to receive anything, everything from God. Even though miracle power is present, these people made themselves unavailable. They made themselves unavailable to receive these miracles. Again, the worst offenses are the ones we think we have a right to keep. I'm right. I'm justified. I should be mad, and it's right. All my friends have told me I'm right to be mad and offended. Listen, if nothing else, it is a mental and emotional distraction that leads us away from what God has for us. Another classic example in Scripture is Naaman, the leper. He's not even an Israelite. He's from Syria. Anyway, long story short, he ends up at Elisha's front door saying, and Elisha wouldn't even come out. He sent his servant out, said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Again, leprosy, open wounds, sore, your flesh is decaying on your body. The Jordan is similar to the Wakarusa. It's a muddy, muddy, not, you don't want open sores and that kind of thing. And the guy went away, this general, this army general went away with all of his contingency with him. And just, he went away mad. And he says, the Jordan, why not one of the rivers in my country? They're far cleaner than the Jordan. And this guy, he wouldn't even come out and talk to me himself. He sends a servant. Does he not know who I am? He's offended on many fronts. Finally, one of his lieutenants comes and says, sir, what have you got to lose? I mean, what have you got to lose? Go and dip. And, I mean, if he asked you to do some great thing, go conquer this, whatever, you'd have done it. But why not do the simple thing? Oh, okay. He got over his offense a little bit, went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan. And the 7th time, his comes up, his flesh is completely restored. He could have missed his miracle over being offended. And maybe sometimes that's what you and I need to look around. People who are offended, we need to maybe just slip along quietly and wait for the moment and say, look, I know you're offended over this, but why not give it a shot? Help them get free from the trap of offense. Help them to receive blessing. We got to refuse to be offended or we'll miss our miracle. People can be offended by what? Well, people are offended by what the Bible says. Some are offended by what God's word says about healing. You know, there's a lot of churches, denominations. I mean, they say, well, God can heal, but it's a sovereign act. He just chooses who he wills. Well, no. We've seen many times people come up to Jesus, the woman, you know, with the issue of blood, she touches Jesus' garment, and Jesus says, wait a minute, stop, everybody, somebody touched me. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now, healing is a part of the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes we were healed. You know, Jesus took our sin upon the cross, by whose stripes we were healed. Healing and the forgiveness of sin, they cannot be separated. Sowing and reaping. People get offended over sowing and reaping, especially concerning financial blessing. They just, oh, you're one of those name it, claim it, health and wealth kind of guys. Listen, I'm for what the Bible says. I don't care what you want to label it and what you want to criticize about it. I just choose to believe what the Word says. I'm not going to be offended. You know, the areas of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, ethics, morality, we could go on and on. People are offended because they miss God's blessings in these particular areas. They cut themselves off. Self-fulfilling prophecy in their life. No, God doesn't prosper us. Oh, okay. And that explains a lot in your life, doesn't it? Because you don't believe that God will bless you. You're sowing and reaping. It's okay. In life, the dangerous thing about choosing to be offended is you, well, You've allowed someone else's mistake, their immaturity, their sinfulness, their wickedness to mess with your life and your blessings. Why would you do that? Why would you give that person that power? You see, when the Bible talks about the Lord of your life, the Lord is whoever you give permission and power to impact the fruitfulness of your future. Or the barrenness and hopelessness of your future. If you allow someone else's sin against you to mess with you so that you're trapped by an offense, you're giving lordship to someone other than Jesus. I'll let that soak in just for a minute. And when you give someone else the place to overrule Jesus because you're so offended and you're so angry and upset and emotional about it, when you give them that place, they have become Lord in your life because now that act, that sin that against you has now gained control of your life. You are trapped in an offense and you are stuck. Your future is limited and you're in pain and you need to be set free. But I promise you, when someone else other than Jesus is Lord in your life, exercising that kind of power, it's a trap where you will always lose. I don't care how often you try to get even with them and punch them back, whatever. So let's get to the bottom line here. I've got about 2 minutes to finish up how to get free and stay free from the trap of offense. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, "Blessed is he who is not offended." I know it says because of me, but that's relevant today. But just think of it. Blessed is the person who is not offended. There is no blessing in being offended. You cut yourself off. You limit what God will do in your life. Not because God doesn't want to, is that you are not going to allow it because of the offenses there. We got to forgive, and sometimes you have to do it by faith. That means faith in your feelings have nothing. I just feel like I have faith. No. Faith and feeling, they don't have anything to do with one another. I'm glad you feel good, but you know what? You get caught in that trap that faith is only active when you feel something. You're going to miss most of what walking by faith is like. You know how often I have to deal with situations and people where I'm not pleasantly disposed toward them at the moment because of whatever's going on. Like the guys messing with our parking lot. I don't feel like, but I pray, not just because of our parking lot, it's just probably they're jerks elsewhere in life. And it's affecting other people who are caught in the trap of their offense. So I pray for these guys in the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And that you grow up and gain a little wisdom. Because otherwise, you're going to do something that's going to put you in jail. You start doing stuff like this, you know, it's a gateway drug. And I'm not interested in seeing that happen. But anyway, the point is that we've got to forgive even when we don't feel like it. It's a battle. Your feelings versus what the Word says. But it's a battle that you can win. Romans chapter 4, verse 20, beginning there, it says, Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Notice verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses. And was raised from the dead because of for our justification. Jesus took our offenses on the cross. In other words, he didn't create us. By creation, our lives, our bodies were not meant to carry offenses. Most of the time, I'll tell you what's needed. Most of the time, we need to take in more of God's word to overcome our offenses. You need to take in more word. You're letting your feelings, you're letting the circumstances, you're letting their wrongness fill up more of you, and you need to crowd it out by taking in more of the word. Amen. Till you're dominated by the word. Psalm 119, that big long chapter, you know, verse 165. Aren't you glad I didn't start at verse 1? Great peace have they who love your word, your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. The word is key. So what do we do? Well, again, we live by faith, not by sight or feeling. Jesus gave instruction to his followers in Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 12. He says, when you go into a house, say, peace be with you. If the people in that house welcome you, let your greeting of peace remain. But if they do not welcome you, they tell you, hit the road, Jack, then take back your greeting. And if some home or town will not welcome you or listen to you, then leave that place and shake the dust off your feet. What's Jesus saying here? This is not about clean feet or dirty feet. He's saying, don't become offended in one place, in one situation, and carry it on to the next place. Leave it there, because otherwise it will limit your future effectiveness. I want us to all stand right now as we wrap up. We're going to put to practice this verse in just a moment. But let me just ask you this morning, in your life, are you trapped by an offense? You see, it'll never come to you that way. It has to be God revealing it to you, because no, I got some people I'm mad at, and I'm right and they're wrong, and I'm going to see to it that they get theirs. Okay, you're trapped. You're trapped. You're hurting. Yeah, because they were wrong and they did me wrong. I know you're hurting, but why should their wrongness limit what God can do in you and through you? It's not worth it. Or if you need it to be said this way, they're not worth it. You got to fight to keep from being offended. Some of you here this morning, I'm so glad you're here. Some of you, you've been offended by a church, and I'm glad you're here. Some of you in your life, you've been offended by a minister or a pastor. Let me say on behalf of pastors and ministers, I'm sorry. But you need to understand, we are people too. And we're not the sum of all knowledge. I forget things that people were counting on. I mess up. I'm sorry. Not perfect. You've been offended by a boss, by a teacher, school, by a coworker. If you employ people, you've been offended by an employee. Some of you, it's your family. You got people in your family that you wish weren't. But you're trapped by an offense. Maybe, worst of all, you picked up somebody else's offense. You're carrying somebody, a friend, a family member, somebody close to you. Yeah, they're mad at somebody. Oh, they did it to you. Oh, I'm mad at them too. And you've picked up somebody. They didn't do anything to you, but you've taken up somebody. You just say, here, let me open that trap and let me snap my leg in there too. And we can both be stuck right here. Why would you do that? Why would you say, okay, they're wrong. I'm with you on this. They're wrong. But here, let me help you get out of this so that we can move on together. Why not? The issue isn't who's right. The issue is freedom to move forward and not be stuck, tethered to a trap. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray. I'll tell you what, no, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Let me show you what we're going to do. We're going to do what Jesus said. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to pray with heads bowed and eyes closed, but you know you're trapped. Whether it's a big trap or a little trap, it still hurts and you're limited. And I want you, as we pray, and I'll tell you when, I want you to lift up one leg and I want you to shake it off. I want you to lift up the other leg and I want you to shake off the fence. And we're going to make a declaration together. Let's begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ took upon himself our offenses. We don't have to stay offended. We don't have to lay stumbling blocks in our own pathway, become our own worst enemy in life. Lord, we can move in to become more effective and more fruitful. We can receive more blessing and we can be a bigger blessing in life. Lord, but we must choose to let people who are wrong, situations that are wrong, we're going to let them dominate and restrict us and keep us in pain? Or are we going to choose a pathway of life and follow the Lord Jesus Christ into the fullness of freedom? Lord, you left a pathway. You said that when we offer peace to a place and they don't accept it, receive it back. Don't leave it there and that be an offense. We're to shake it off. So Lord, right now, we do. We lift up a leg. We shake it off in the name of Jesus. We shake off the offense where other people have wronged us. We're no longer going to be trapped by that in the name of Jesus. Now make this declaration after me. I am free because the Son Jesus has set me free. I will not be trapped by these offenses any longer. I'm going to move into the future that Jesus has for me. In the name of Jesus. Amen.